I took a funeral a few weeks ago at Tarring Neville for a woman called Betty Moyle. I didn't know her, but in her younger days she was a very faithful member of this church family. She was very fond of Tarring, and one autumn day she was out there and she wrote a little piece called Thoughts in a Country Churchyard. I've got a copy of it here with me today if you want to have a look at it. But in it she said that she had noticed a headstone at Tarring which said, "In loving memory of Peter Hills, who fell asleep in February 1910. And she then said in her little piece, "What a funny expression that is, to fall asleep." And it is a bit odd, isn't it? But if only we knew our Bibles the way people knew their Bibles in 1910, we might know that actually that is a wonderfully biblical way to talk about the death of a believer. Not just anybody, but the death of a Christian. So we've reached the business end of this letter, which Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians. And I guess today he gets to the absolute heart of what he wants to say. What really happens to a Christian when they die? What happens when someone dies who has put their trust in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection? Can we know anything with certainty? And if there are things we can know, what do we do about it? Can I just say, friends, you may not hear anything more important than what we're going to think about this morning. So I do pray that you'd better follow it and just let the Lord speak to you about this. Because as someone once said, death is not an accident. Death is an appointment. And we'll see why. So let's begin with this thing about sleep. Paul talks about sleep three times in the first reading. I don't know about you, but when I sleep like a dead man. Okay? Life can go on around me and I'm absolutely oblivious. So my neighbour said to me this week, he said, "God, did you hear that car alarm going off at 1 o'clock in the morning last night?" And I said, "Nope, I didn't hear a thing." He then said to me, "Well, you must have heard those seagulls on your roof. We've got 3 baby seagulls on our roof at the moment. Isn't that lovely?" And I was very happy to say, "Nope, I didn't hear them." But actually, all you need to do to wake me is give me a little shake. I may sleep like a dead man, but it really doesn't take much to wake me up. And so we begin to understand what Paul is saying. He's saying, for the Christian believer, death is like sleep. For the Christian believer, death is temporary, like sleep. The state of death, like sleep, is painless and it is painful. Painless and peaceful. In John chapter 11, Jesus says his friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. Actually, Lazarus is dead and buried. He's in the tomb. Jesus says, "I'm going there to wake him." Actually, Jesus is going there to raise him. You see, this is the most important thing of all. The Bible says Jesus is able to raise someone from death as easily as you or I can wake someone from sleep. That's what these passages are saying. John 11, 1 Thessalonians 4. So what happens when a Christian dies? What actually happens? Well, 3 things we really, really need to know. Resurrection, return, and reunion. When the Christian dies, falls asleep in Christ, the soul or the spirit goes right there and then to be with the Lord, and to be with the Lord forever. Now we know this because on the cross, Jesus says to the dying thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise. Not tomorrow, not at a date in the future that we don't know. Jesus says today, today. So when you die in Christ, your soul goes to be with the Lord right there and then. It's the body that sleeps, awaiting this thing called resurrection. So look at verse 14. First reading, verse 14. Paul says, "For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." Or look at the end of verse 16. "The dead in Christ will rise first." You see, friends, we've got to understand what resurrection means. And I suspect many of us don't really know what it means. I haven't really known what it means for years. But here's the thing. On Easter Sunday, when Jesus was raised, that was the first fruits of the resurrection. He did not come back as a spirit. Jesus was raised with a glorious, physical, real resurrection body. And it's going to be just the same for those who die in Christ. So I heard it described like this. Marcus Nodder is a church minister. He did the main talks at the Gospel Partnership conference back in November, and very good he was. His dad before him was also a church minister, but he died really suddenly at the age of just 62. It was a terrible, really painful blow for the whole family. They put an announcement in the newspaper about him which said this: "He is now at home with the Lord." Okay, he died as a Christian, that's absolutely right. His soul or spirit went to be with the Lord. And for him, life has never been so good. He's with the Lord. It's just the rest of his family left behind for whom it's really hard. And some of us know that, don't we? We really know that. That's his soul. His soul has gone home to be with the Lord. But his body is in the ground, in a graveyard in the north of England. His body is awaiting Christ's return, when Jesus will wake it from sleep and raise it to life. Your soul does not sleep in death. Do you know, I find that really comforting. Your soul does not sleep in death. Your soul goes to be with the Lord. It's your body that sleeps. And Christ will raise your body to clothe your soul, which went to be with the Lord the moment you died. And so the hymn we sang at the beginning says it really well. "My soul is purchased with his blood. My life is hid with Christ on high." That's my soul. That's where my soul goes. But the resurrection of my body awaits Christ's return. And when that day arrives, when Jesus returns, please don't fret that you will miss it. Please don't worry that it will be somehow unclear. The Bible says it's not possible to miss it. It's not possible to be confused about it. So please read verse 16 with me, okay? Verse 16. "For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." If you have to hear about the return of Christ on the news, if you think that you have somehow missed it, then it hasn't happened. Okay? Because there will be no mistaking it. I don't know how much of verse 16 is literal and how much of it might be symbolism. But the picture there is of this irresistible and unmistakable power and authority. The Lord himself will come down. Not some deputy, not some angel. The Lord himself will come down. The dead in Christ will be raised, and the living in Christ will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord. Friends, three things you have really got to know about what happens when the Christian dies. First, for the Christian believer who dies, there is real, real physical resurrection. Second, that resurrection is triggered by the return of Christ. Until that day, your body sleeps. Your soul goes to be with the Lord. But on that day, not only will there be resurrection, there will be this extraordinary reunion. So verse 17 says, after that, after Jesus has returned, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them, those who fell asleep in Christ, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we, all of us, the living and the dead, will be with the Lord forever. On that day, friends, on that day, unless you have already fallen asleep in Christ, you will be reunited. In fact, whether you're dead or alive, you will be reunited with every single believer who has ever walked the earth. And I trust that when that happens, we will experience many surprises. Oh, you're here. Fancy that. And even better. Why? Because it will be a real reunion. You will recognize loved ones. We know this. We know this because on the first Easter Sunday, the disciples did recognize Jesus, even in his perfected resurrection body. He was the same, but he was different. And that probably explains why sometimes they recognized him straight away and sometimes they didn't. He was the same, but different. It will be a real joyful reunion. Isn't that amazing? And it will be a glorious reunion. Because as I've just been saying, we will not be and we will not meet people as they were. We will be and we will see people as they are. With transformed resurrection bodies. With hair. Sorry, I'm looking at one person that's most unkind. Behold, I am making everything new, says Revelation chapter 21. Please, friends, we're not making this up. This is the Bible. And it won't, this is amazing, right? It won't just be our bodies that are transformed. Our relationships will be transformed. I think this is so lovely. Someone has written, presumably all our relationships then will be as deep as the best marriage now. And if we are aware of loved ones absent because they did not believe, somehow we won't be sad and miss them. Because in the age to come, there will be no more tears, there will be no more crying, there will be no more pain, for the old order of things has passed away. It's Revelation 21 again. So it will be a joyful reunion. It will be a glorious reunion. And it will be an everlasting reunion. Paul says we will be with the Lord forever. So somebody was telling me the other day that they met Kate, the Duchess of Cambridge, at a garden party at Buckingham Palace. And they found it a pretty overwhelming experience, actually, because, do you know, she is as beautiful in the flesh as she is on TV. So they were a bit sort of starstruck. There was a handshake, there was a quick word, and then she was gone. They'll never see her again. Not in this life. But we need to know, this event that Paul is talking about here is not going to be a quick VIP handshake. Death is the great separator, but Jesus Christ is the great reconciler. We will be together with him, and we will be together with each other forever. So, friends, three things we really need to know. We really need to know resurrection, return, and reunion. Three things you need to know, and three things we really need to do. Three things we need to do. First, verse 13, Paul says, right at the beginning there, Paul says, do not be uninformed. Do not be unaware of what happens when we die. Everything we've said today is written for our comfort. It's written for our comfort so that we do not grieve and so that we do not fear like the rest of mankind who have no hope. You see, death is the great taboo of our culture, isn't it? In fact, someone has said that we today are the exact opposite of the Victorians. The Victorians never talked about sex, but talked about death all the time. We never talk about death, and you can probably finish the sentence, can't you? Neither extreme is healthy. To be informed about death is not an admission of defeat. It is not a morbid fascination. It is actually to get all things in the right perspective. The Bible speaks. We do not need to be unaware of what happens when a Christian dies. I find that so helpful. But secondly, Paul says, verse 18, encourage one another with these words. You see, words matter. Those words on the headstone at Tarring, we don't understand what they mean because we don't know our Bibles. So we end up with words like this. I mean, it's crazy. But I was not, I became, I am not, I care not. That's what the atheist has to say, isn't it? Death is just the end. There's nothing. Or as my father used to say, when you're dead. Most unhelpful. And then there's the sentimentalist. The wishful thinker. Is this you? Do not stand by my grave and weep. I am not there, I do not sleep. I am the thousand winds that blow. Do not stand by my grave and cry. I am not there, I did not die. Please don't ask me to say that at your funeral, because it's nonsense. You did die. That's why we're there. So Paul says, no, look, don't use those words. Encourage each other with these words. The Lord has promised. He himself will come down. The trumpet will sound and the dead in Christ will rise. These are the words. There is a glorious resurrection to come. And there is an everlasting reunion to come. Don't be uninformed about these things, he says. Encourage one another with these words. And then lastly, maybe most important of all, we've nearly finished. Most important, three things to do. Here's the third thing. Be ready. That's what the second reading is about. This day, the day that Jesus returns, the day that Paul is talking about, Paul calls it the day of the Lord. And he gives us these two little pictures to explain the timing of the day of the Lord. Verse 2, he says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. You know, years ago, when I lived in a flat, I chose to keep all my sports equipment in my car. Okay? That's what you do, isn't it, when you're in your 20s and you're not very clever. I kept all my sports equipment in my car. One morning, I walked down to my car, and there is a bag of old golf balls on the roof of my car. And I think, how strange. I wonder who they belong to. And then I realized they belonged to me, because someone had broken into my car and stolen all of my sports equipment, apart from the bag of balls, which they clearly didn't consider valuable enough to take. Later that day, I happened to have a haircut. And the barber engaged me in light conversation. And he very helpfully said, ah, you shouldn't have kept your sports equipment in the car. Genius, of course, if only I had known. The whole point is, you don't know when the thief is going to come, do you? If I'd known the car was going to get broken into, I would have moved it all, wouldn't I? Thieves don't tell you when they're coming. Jesus is not a thief. But the Bible is clear. We don't know when he will return. If someone tries to tell you they know, they don't know. It will be sudden, and for many people it will be unexpected. So be ready. Second picture, verse 3. The day of the Lord will come like labor pains to a pregnant woman at the end of pregnancy. Now, I'm no expert on this. I have witnessed it four times. But like the thief, labor pains arrive to a pregnant woman suddenly. But unlike the thief, labor pains for a pregnant woman are not a surprise, are they? A pregnant woman knows that at some point she will have labor pains because she's got to have the baby. So you put it all together. Paul is saying that for the Christian, Jesus' return may be sudden, but it should not be a surprise. So be ready. We'll think more next week what it actually looks like to be ready, because that's important. What does it mean? What does it look like? But for now, I'd love to just leave on the screen, Martin, if you would, three things we really, really need to know. You need to know this. There is going to be a resurrection. There will be a return when your body will rise when Jesus returns. There will be a glorious reunion with every believer who has ever walked the earth. So three things to do. Don't be ignorant about all of this. Know it. Encourage one another with these amazing words and truths. And be ready. Be ready. Amen.